Well, that's a way to begin a Wednesday night service, isn't it? How you doing? You ready for the Word? I'll make a promise with you. I'll preach fast if you listen fast. I have a special end to tonight that I'm rather excited about that I want you to hear about. So I don't have a lot of time to waste. I do want to extend my great appreciation to Brother Jeff for filling in so aptly for me last week. How about let's give the Lord a clap of them. I must be honest, I thought I had died and gone to heaven where I was, but I did miss you. And I heard that he did an extraordinary job. When do you finish Liberty?
September.
And you're undergraduate, and then you're going to start your graduate degree from the same place, right? Well, God bless you. That is so exciting. Something that his heart pulsated with his whole life, something that he had talked with his dad, whom he was very close to, recently passed, and to see this ultimately eventuate in your life is indeed a grand pleasure, and I assure you, brother, he knows about it, and he's rejoicing as well. I'm going to read one verse in chapter 4, verse 1, and the book of Philippians, the Bible reads as follows, "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." Father, in the name of Jesus, we just do feel like shouting to the top of our lungs to the glory of God. We love to sing and praise, hallelujah, a universal term for praise the Lord. God, we worship you in spirit and truth, and we want to bring our bodies in submission to our spirits under God, and that includes in our worship. So, Father, in these few moments we have together, we pray, quick though they may be, that the power of God would move mightily in kingdom authority and power. And as is always the case, we do pray that you forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. The first quote in your notes is one you should be familiar with. Family you can choose. That's right. Friends you can choose, but family what? You're stuck with. Now, I asked my dad one time, I says, why is it that the worst of you comes out towards the people you love, that love you the most? You know what my dad told me very profoundly? Because nobody else will put up with your mess. There might be a lot of truth to that. There's something about that kinship. We're not simply entities that intermingle and interrelate. We're blood, as we say. We're committed to one another. There's a deep bond, and there's something reverential about that. There's something honoring about that. You know, it's easier for me to say something negative about an acquaintance than it is a friend. Because there seems to be something that is so violating about saying something negative about a friend that I will resume some kind of relationship with and look at that individual as if everything is okay. There's something about that commitment. And one thing that I think the church has lost in some sense is its identity as a family, the fact that we belong to each other and to be committed to one another. And it is my studied opinion, which by the way I respect very much, that this should be the safest place that you as a child of God can come and let down your hair, share your vulnerabilities, and not have to worry about not being loved. That you'll be accepted. That you're one of us. I know you're struggling. It's not that we endorse your behavior by any means, but I have my struggles too. And I want you to know, regardless of what you do, you as a person, you never have to worry about me rejecting you, withdrawing my acceptance, my love. I want you to know that I'm here. I will always be here. And I am committed to you. That's the church. It's not a bunch of people looking down their long self-righteous snouts out the stained glass windows, if we had them, shaking their heads at the poor, pitiful pagans on the outside. There but for the grace of God go you, and there for the grace of God go I. The only difference between them and you is the grace of God. And so, don't act as if you're something when you're not. What you are is because of the grace of God. Now, the good news about it is this. I hope that's not Temple's problem. I believe we realize this is what it actually is, a spiritual hospital. A place for people who are dignified in the dignity of who they are, being created in the image of Christ, but at the same time realizing that they are broken and overcoming that brokenness. And one thing, church, you're going to have to get used to, when you are going to open your doors to broken people, don't you be shocked and surprised when they come into the church and start acting broken. Because they're broken. That's how broken people act. Well, I can't believe. Oh, yeah, you can believe. There's a few things you've done. I can't believe. And so we're here to love one another, not to take everything so personally, not to be so sensitive that we can't interact with one another and allow them to be who they are in the uniqueness of who they are without thinking it's our God-given appointment to fix them in every category. If we can be of help by God Almighty, praise be. But if not, I want you to know that God can take care of that individual. If you need some scripture on that, you need to study Romans 14. So, I want to talk with you a little bit about all together, together. Oh, by the way, for those of you who don't like me, look up here. Get used to it. Because you're going to be spending eternity with me. Now, you can go up and tell God when we get to glory. You know, I don't really like Him. I don't think it'll get you many points with Him, but go ahead and try it. But you're going to be with me forever, so a good thing I would do is begin practicing loving me now. Practice loving the unlovable or the things you don't love about me. And if you will practice that with me, maybe you can practice that with one another. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. Never judge another man or another woman's walk until you've walked in their shoes. And you've got some struggling folks here tonight who are hurting, and they are looking to you, at least in some sense of the word, to minister to them or to allow God to work through you to them. And primarily, that's going to come out feeling like I'm being loved. And if that is not what we are, and what we at least do in the fellowship within, then we've got problems. So let's look at this, all together, together. What's the first word there? It says therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore, what do? You find out what it's there for. And what you realize is that this verse that he just stated is actually, I'm all confused. He's now looking back at verses 17 through 21, and the last time we were together, we looked at that, and we discovered that remembering that we are living in a world where we have folks who are at enmity against us is not a pleasurable experience, but it is a reality. You are like a salmon going upstream to spawn, and the whole rest of the flow of the world's coming against you, and that's not easy, but you're not the only salmon, and don't forget about that. And we realize it's heartbreaking to remember those who are at enmity with us. We discovered the destiny of our enemies, the God of our enemies, the glory of our enemies, and the mind of our enemies. And then we realize, the last time we're together, that we are all citizens of the kingdom of God right here and now. Correct? You don't simply wait till you die and go to heaven. That's the consummate state. We look forward to that. Praise God. Glory be. But the moment you enter into Jesus, you become His apprentice. That's what you need to understand. And He begins to teach you how to lead your life in the way that He would lead it if He were you and your own mission with Jesus Christ. Okay? And so you are a citizen of the kingdom right here and now. And because your citizenship is in the heavens or in the kingdom, it is natural for you to long for the consummate state. But a part of what you're involved in here now is a part of what you will be doing forever. And so you have to wait till God calls you home or Jesus comes back, because this is a part of the matrix as to what He's doing with you pertaining to what you will be doing throughout all eternity, reigning with Christ. And while we wait, or from where we wait with confident expectation. We experience continuous transformation, and then finally we discovered we will ultimately be like Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful goal? Isn't that a wonderful, glorious future? Therefore, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 1 John 3, 2 and 3. And so that's the therefore. Now, based on that, He wants us to understand something as a community. And remember, when He is writing this to this church is under persecution. This church, the people's lives are at risk because they're on mission for Jesus Christ. He's writing from a prison that He does not even know if He's going to leave without being martyred. It turned out He wouldn't be here, but later He would be when He wrote 2 Timothy, and tradition tells us that He was beheaded, which was the traditional way in the Neroan persecution that God's men were martyred at that time. And so He doesn't know all that now, though, but He's talking to them who are hurting and in pain and are on mission for Jesus Christ. He doesn't want them to get discouraged. And probably, remember, this is called the Epistle of Joy, and He so loves the Philippians, it just seeps with it throughout its pages. But probably in all of its texts, there's none like verse 1 of chapter 4 that shows that affection. And that's what I want to break down for you tonight. The first thing we discover is that we belong together forever. Therefore, what? My brothers. How many of you have heard of the English Standard Version? It's a newer version. Well, it's not really that new, but it's a tremendous translation of the Bible. I went ahead and bought me a copy. I'm reading the New Testament through now in it. Every time it comes to this term, brothers, it will have a footnote down at the bottom of it that says that it refers to brothers and sisters in this context, because He's talking to believers. He's talking to the family of God. So here He is calling the family of God my brothers and sisters. Do you recognize that? You're my family. You okay with that? You okay me being your brother? You're my sister. Is that all right? Now, are you having some struggles or something in the family? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you are a brother and sister, then that's more than a what? A friend. And there should be a fundamental commitment, unified, solidified, glued by the Spirit of God, whereby we belong to one another and we're committed to each other's good. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Do you know the difference between desire and feeling? You can actually desire some things you don't feel. And you can feel some things that you don't desire. And there are people that you might have a problem with that maybe they have really wronged you and you don't like them. But you have to distinguish between the action and the person. You have to learn to do that. I'm not real crazy about Steve in this area, but I am committed to him. Now, what does it mean when you say you love that individual or you are committed to them, even your enemies, which the context of this verse is in? It means that you will their good. Now, I want you to think about that individual right now that you're seething about in your heart. As a matter of fact, some of you are so gripped in hate, you've come in here, you hope that God, by some infusion of grace, will deliver you from it. And I want you to know what God's going to teach you. God's going to have you come up with a hit list, and you're going to pray over that individual until you can actually will that person's good. And I've got a great example for you. I believe this. You might not, and it's okay. You're probably wrong about other things as well. But this, I think, is true. Notice what Jesus said, and notice what Stephen said. Stephen said, Lord Jesus, hold not this charge against them. And while they were reviling Jesus, Jesus says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now notice what's happening there. Stephen had already forgiven them. Jesus had already forgiven them. Stephen and Jesus now is asking God to forgive them. That is a consummate act of willing somebody's good. And if there's anybody in this world that did not deserve to have good will to them by way of prayer, word, or action, it was the perpetrators of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and those who pummeled Stephen with stones. And yet it was not enough that he forgave them. He prayed that God will forgive them. So what if you go home tonight and that person you're burning about, get on your knees and say, God, I pray that you forgive this person. I will their good. God Almighty, I pray that you bless them. I pray that you enrich them. Let's say that there's some kind of problem in their life you know about. Pray about that problem. Don't tell anybody about it. Do it secretly. And watch your life change. Because see, once you've done that, you've opened the kingdom. You've obeyed. You've done what God's told you to. You've been willing to move against your feelings. And what happens is, you will see the kingdom of God if you'll do that. We belong together forever. Get acquainted with it. Secondly, we care for each other forever. He says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love, agape, that's God's love. Jesus did not let you get away with loving your neighbor as yourself. That was profound in and of itself, but he took it another level. He says, a new commandment I give you in John 13, 34 and 35, love one another as I have loved you. In this area, the world has a right to judge the church in terms of your authenticity. He says, all men will know that you are my disciples if what? You memorize X amount of verses. You know all the doctrines. You can read the Bible. You have your quiet time. You go to church every time the doors are open. No. He says, all men will know you are my disciples if you what? You love one another. And he says, you're not loving, you're just a clang. I just might as well get a tin trash can lit up here and bang it with a stick. Because that, the reality of agape love, that is what demonstrates the reality of the Trinitarian reality, the reality of the kingdom, the reality of the alive Jesus in his people on this earth now. Thirdly, so what? How do you grow a church? You love. It should be a place of love. It should be a place that people can be loved and look forward to and find some sense of care in this very cold world. Thirdly, we want to be together forever. Well, speak for yourself, preacher. I will. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and what? Long for. Hey, when you're away from here, do you want to get back and see some of God's people? I was gone last week around a bunch of strangers for a significant, wonderful, marvelous time. A couple of days of it's plenty. I'm ready to come back to the family. Going on vacation, can't wait to go, but what? I'm ready to get back to the family. I don't fellowship with that many people in the neighborhood, not on the same way I do you. I'm answering all their questions about God. But when I come here, I'm getting the old tank refueled. I see you. It's a pleasant experience. I see some of you, and as I pray, it's becoming more unpleasant. No, I'm just kidding. But there's a longing to be with the people I love and I belong to. And see, as it is right now, and as far as I'm concerned, it's a career decision, I'm where God wants me. Doing what God wants me to do with the people with whom I'm doing it. And that's my place in the kingdom. And I'll tell you something, folks. When you know where you are, why you're here, that this is where God, as He arranges the parts in the body, just as He determines, and you're where He wants you to be, doing what He wants you to do, then you can stand flat-footed and, quite frankly, do it. Fourthly, we experience present well-being and future reward. He says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. What is joy? Well, it's around the clock laughing. Wrong. What is joy? Always being happy, never experiencing any kind of sadness or trials or difficulties. Wrong. What is joy? Joy is a pervasive sense of well-being. That there is a grip on your life that regardless of what you go through, there is this catalyst within you that holds you, that permeates you with a joy, and it sustains you that you're going to be all right. You don't live by the adage, if it's to be, it's up to me. You don't have to have your way. You're looking at things in a bigger framework. You can abandon outcomes to God because you know the joy of the Lord, and that is your strength. It is a pervasive sense of well-being regardless of what I have to face or have faced or regardless of what I'm going through. It's going to be okay because I'm in the grip of a hand that nothing or no one can ever snatch me out of. And also a future reward. Well, I know all crowns are going to be laid at the feet of Jesus. But I want you to know all those little acts of kindness that you do that you long forget about, God doesn't forget them. There's a reward for that. Do you do it for the reward? I don't even think about it. I've got an unbelievable memory. It's scary. As a matter of fact, it'd be nice to forget a few things. But it seems that some of the things I've done for folks, I can't remember. And I don't know why I have that amnesia, but I'm kind of glad. People come up and say, you remember when such and so, and I just really appreciate that, and I really can't remember it. But that's okay. Because, see, I don't think it's the accolades and the big things we think that really impresses God. Can you imagine us going up with our resumes? Hey, God, what do you think? I don't think it's like that. I think these little incidences in our lives where we touched a life, we didn't even know sometimes that God was in it, that we did something that revolutionized somebody, and God said, yes, sir, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And then finally, since we belong to each other forever, since we care for each other forever, since we want to be together forever, and we experience present well-being and future reward together, finally, let us stand together both now and forevermore. Doesn't that make sense? Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. How do we stand firm in the Lord? Together. How many of you have stood in a crowd and felt so lonely that you could actually feel it in the breast of your body? How many times have you been going through something and no one could understand it? No one quite could minister to it in just the right way, and you just thought that it was over. And there's an aimlessness, a meaninglessness. God has put this organic unity here so that you would never, ever have to be alone again. You are not alone. I don't care what your flesh is telling you, what other churches might be telling you, what the world is telling you, or what even Satan is whispering to you. You are not alone. There are people who love you, care for you, are committed for you, and you do not have to stand against the tide of this world alone. You are in good company. And in the words of Forrest Gump, that's all I have to say about that. I'm real excited about a recent missions trip, and I want you to keep your seats because this is cutting edge. We love and appreciate the heartbeat and vision of Bob and Mary Brainerd and Laverne Cunningham. And they recently got back and were exposed to a real, I think, paradigm of what the world looks like and what we need to start thinking about in terms of reaching that world. Because you do understand, don't you, that what we do in here is to prepare you to get you out there as seeds planted all over this place and indeed throughout the world, as the kingdom representatives.